You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Today, there's something going on. The Lower Yellowstone River Advisory Committee is kind of kicking off, as a matter of fact. And what's this all about? Well, it's about improving access, improving services, maybe marketing to bolster the economic impact of recreation in Montana, especially in these areas, well, throughout all of Montana. But as I've said here, too, and we've talked about with other folks, this part of eastern Montana, they kind of get the short shift of it, short end of the stick when it comes to tourism. You have pictures of Montana. Their mountains or the big prairie views are not what you normally see. And there's beautiful shots and beautiful recreation to be had. And folks know about it. Folks from the Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee. Well, do we have a Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee? Not yet. Sort of, kind of. Angie Grove is chairing that committee. It's newly formed, and she joins us this morning to talk more about it, talk about what the purpose is, improving access, as I mentioned here, for the Lower Yellowstone. And good morning, Angie. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great.
Are you?
Thank you, and thanks
good.
For having me. I'm glad we could make this work.
Yeah, thanks for being here on short notice, because we got the release just yesterday from the FWP, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, about the formation of this Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee. Now, there's been a coalition that has been working for a number of years to go, hey, there's recreation opportunities here, and we just need to do a little better job in this area, that area, and this area. And now you've got this advisory committee. Talk about the effort that went behind it. Talk about where we're going forward.
Well, the coalition was formed about a year ago. In fact, last summer we went out to eastern Montana and talked to communities and some of the stakeholders to get more information on what their needs are and how we can help out, raise the awareness of the recreation outdoor opportunities in eastern Montana. And in fact, Hank Worsick, the director of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, was with us last summer when we were having some of those background conversations. And then members of the coalition spend quite a bit of time meeting with irrigation districts, conservation districts, and local communities, just finding out what people's visions are and needs are, and trying to help bolster support for promoting the Lower Yellowstone. And we were actually able to make that vision happen thanks to the governor and the Montana legislature. They appropriated $4 million to invest in the river corridor to promote these ideas.
So legislatively, this was done, a little bit of lobbying. So it's a relatively, new movement, so to speak. But for years, I think folks on the eastern side of the state, and it's not just the Lower Yellowstone, I think folks along the High Line as well, have been reaching out to get some recreation, some tourism dollars to be spent on their behalf, right?
Right, correct. The last 3 years I've been chairman of the State Parks and Outdoor Recreation Board, and it's always surprising to me how many people haven't gone past Billings. They don't understand there's a great recreation outdoor playground out there beyond Billings. So I think that's the message we heard from communities. They want to see what we can do to help help move that forward. And generally, we found pretty good consensus. You know, more access opportunities, public facilities like boat ramps and public restrooms, parks. You know, there's been several people who contacted me in the last few years for a potential state park out in that region. And then, of course, hiking trails, not only from a tourism perspective, but there's interpretation opportunities. There's some amazing stories in eastern Montana that really need to be shared with visitors. And also from a community health perspective, we had several community health leaders contact us and talk about the ability to make a more walkable community in their local communities. So there's lots of excitement, lots of support, and we're really looking forward to getting this advisory council formed and rolling up our sleeves and going to work.
So the legislature appropriated, the governor approved $4 million from the FWP to start this process, just specifically on the Lower Yellowstone. So you're going to start with this advisory committee, and you're looking for input. You're looking for feedback.
Yes, and we're also looking for members. You know, as the press release noted yesterday, it's a 12-member advisory committee. And we really, the department's very committed to maintaining this from the ground up perspective. So we really want local stakeholders and citizens to take part in this process. So we're looking for 12 members to join us. They can access the website. I think they can go to fwp.mt.gov/Lower Yellowstone. And we would really love to hear from folks to, I think it's important to get some perspectives from everybody out there. In particular, I want to ensure we get adjacent landowners and ag producers, because I think it's important that we balance the outdoor recreation and tourism perspective with the rustic and agricultural nature of this river. I really hope we can balance that.
Well, that's part of the...
Because I think it's important.
Part of the trick, isn't it, is to preserve yet promote what's beautiful about this area.
Yeah, and I think we are we have a unique opportunity here. I think one of the most common comments I get is we don't want to be the next Moab. And I think we have an opportunity here to create an outdoor recreation and vision and structure before we have that kind of situation on our hand. As everyone knows, during the pandemic particularly, we saw a huge surge in visitation and interest in our public lands and outdoor recreation. And I think this advisory committee needs to focus on how do we make sure we stay ahead of this and make sure we protect the habitat, protect the wildlife, protect the resource that's one of the most amazing resources in the state of Montana, but also help out the local communities and the river users that want to enjoy this resource.
Jamie Grove, chair of the Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee. You can be a part of that. As she mentioned, they're looking for committee members who are committed to just ideas, you know, landowners, business owners, community members, recreation industry folks, and just general public. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people who just go out there and love it to fish, and I'm not sure that they're, you would consider them experts, so to speak. It's really a family-friendly I think area, but let's talk about step one or step two or step three. The foundation for it's kind of laid out a little bit. There's some projects out there about improving access, improving services. But foundationally, where does this committee need to start?
Well, Tom, I think the first step we need to do is we need to define the process we're going to follow to inform the public so they understand the process and steps we're going to do. And then I also think we need to take time to establish a scoring matrix or evaluation criteria that we can communicate to river users, landowners, that really frames how we're going to select projects for moving forward. I think that's really our first step. Because I think particularly for the landowners along the river, that's important to know. Is this a site that we're going to maintain as just a boat ramp and maybe a restroom facility, or is there going to be camping? I mean, I can see us trying to come up with some site classification criteria, and I think that's the first step we need to do so that everybody involved in this process knows how the decisions are going to be made and that there is going to be some kind of criteria applied to decisions as we move forward.
Is this area underutilized?
Well, Tom, as you know, I think there's a group out there that say we don't want any more. And I think there are, you know, I personally spend a lot of time out there bird hunting, and I don't want any more people out there. But I do think it's a vast resource. As has been pointed out by multiple groups, there's three sections of the river that really have very limited public access, and really that sections of the resource isn't used that much. So I feel pretty comfortable saying it is underutilized, but I do think that's something we also need to balance. You don't want to be the next Moab for sure. So I think we want to make sure that we balance both that, but I there is room for growth. There is room for economic development, and there's just such amazing things along this river corridor that I'm so surprised people don't know about. Cameron Museum,
yeah.
The Cary Badlands. I mean, I can go on and on. I get super excited about what's out there. And yeah, I think we can raise some visitor awareness for what the value and the little hidden gems are out there.
I think so, too. And I mean, and there's a big economic upside to this. And I want to talk about that on the other side of a break here. We're still about a minute and a half away. But talk about, you said we don't want to be another Moab, and I'm assuming you're referencing Moab, Utah, Badlands area. Can you just kind of explain that a little bit? Because, we've used it a couple of times, and so why don't we want to be the next Moab?
Well, full disclosure, I am a mountain biker. I have gone to Moab for 20-some years, so I do have my own personal experience. But there's also been plenty of articles. I think just this week they've talked about how the national parks in the Moab area have just exploded. There was pictures of people at Arches and Dead Horse State Park. It looked like Disneyland. It didn't look like a public recreation area. And I think none of us want our public lands experience to be that. There's certainly areas where there may be camping, but really what I think most recreationists are looking for is a rustic, primitive solitude experience. And I think that's what my impression is when people say, don't let us be the next Moab, is we want to make sure that we protect that part of the user's experience.
Yeah, and there's this beautiful opportunity in this area because, as you've noted, there are large stretches that don't have access. I mean, 50 miles here and 40 miles there. I want to come on back and talk more about that and how you how you move forward. And then again, the economic upside for that for our communities in eastern Montana along the Lower Yellowstone. Jamie Grove, our guest, chair of the Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee on Voices. 2 decades strong, working on 3. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Appreciate you making us a part of your Montana mornings. I'm Tom Schultz. Yellowstone River, the longest free-flowing river in the lower 48. And this is from the FWP release as of yesterday between Hysham, I lived there for a little while, and the North Dakota border. Much of the river relatively inaccessible for recreation and with stretches between access points of up to 50 miles. Jamie Grove is our guest here, chair of the Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee. That may be as much an asset as a hindrance. And maybe I'll start there, and we'll talk about economic development in just a bit here because communities do have to have a buy-in. But when you look at the it's on the website. If you go to FWP, and again, just do Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee on a search engine, you'll find it there. A 36-mile access gap between Hysham and Forsyth. You've got, it's noted here, 50 miles, just is going to be east, or make that west of Miles City. Other areas with long stretches, too. Jamie, I'm thinking that kind of like the Missouri River corridor, that can be an asset as much as it can be a hindrance too. So how do you balance that wilderness experience per se with getting the necessary resources and access points for people to take more advantage of it?
Well, thank you, Tom. And just for the record, my name is Angie. I think you used the name Jamie a few times.
Oh my gosh!
So I just want to make sure.
I did. I wrote it down wrong here.
First step is getting the communities involved. I mean, if we get the communities involved now, we can really lay the groundwork, you know, for the future. I mean, I think we want this for the kids, for our neighbors, for our grandkids, you know, and I think recognizing that and what we want our kids and grandkids to see down the road will help drive our conversations. We want to balance what we have out there. We want to maintain the rural and agriculture and open space feeling that's out there already. I mean, you know, I think it's important that we balance that with infrastructure. And I think that's where the communities to me are really important, because if we create infrastructure around those communities, obviously that's where there's already visitation and habitat or people habitat. So that we can try to maintain the wildlife and fishing resource along the corridor more and not be as impacted by the infrastructure.
Do we know that people want more of a wilderness experience, or do they want to kind of take part in recreation or take part in the recreation opportunities, but also, go have a nice meal, go visit a nice museum, what kind of services are attracting today's recreationalists?
Well, Tom, I think it's a pretty broad range. I don't anticipate this committee talking about wilderness per se. I think it's more going to be directed, as you pointed out, is what is the user experience and what is it they want. We'll be looking to the tourism folks and some of the research that people have done that will give us feedback on that. And then also the local communities. Some of the feedback I've gotten already is that potable water, getting potable water if you're doing a floating experience on this river is often very, very difficult. So we need to figure out how we can get potable water for users on the river more readily. As most locals know, there's quite a few diversion dams, and we need to be able to create portages around those as well as have safety mechanisms to warn people of the upcoming diversion dams and things like that. So those are the kind of conversations I think this advisory council will really be focusing on and directing our energy and hopefully getting this money out on the ground as soon as we can.
And $4 million, I don't want to be numb to how much money that is. Will that be enough, or are you looking at public-private partnerships? The budget? I mean, I guess it's sort of unknown at this point, but you're working initially with $4 million, and that's a pretty good start.
Yes, Tom, I think the $4 million, which, of course, we're super thankful for the legislature and the governor for putting this forward in his budget, the $4 million, in my mind, is just feeding the pot. It's just starting it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that I'm helping with this committee is I worked for the legislature for 28 years, and I think there's always opportunities, as you said, for partnerships. And I think there's federal funding sources. I think there's private funding sources. We've had certain nonprofits, the Montana State Parks Foundation, of course, which I'm a member of, is interested in helping. There's also the opportunity to use other programs within the department, such as the Recreational Trails Program, so that we can get these communities up to speed and aware that they can apply for grants that could potentially run a trail from the river up to Terry Hotel, for example. So I think, I like to think that the $4 million is just the start. And we're hopeful that if we are successful and we can demonstrate how this investment is really helping rural Montana, that we can convince the legislature that this is the type of project that you want to continue looking to support Montana as we go forward.
Yeah, Montana, you know, our economy seems to be transitioning in a lot of ways to this recreation base. There's pros and cons to that, but there's certainly a lot of recreation opportunities. We're coming back after a short headline break here. Angie Grove, chair of the Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee, a past chairman of the State Parks and Recreation Board, and a lot of experience in this area. You can take part in this committee. They're looking for 12 committee members, an application process. I'll get to that, too, on the other side of these headlines from Brian Bennett. Part of our series on the distinct Montana tourism regions, focusing today on Southeast Montana. News out yesterday of the formation of a Lower Yellowstone Advisory Committee to take advantage of these uninterrupted waters of the Lower Yellowstone, world-class hunting, the unique badlands that's in that area. They're looking for committee members, the 12-person committee. And so if you're interested in applying to that, as we've mentioned, go to fwp.mt.gov. And then you can just do any search engine for Lower Yellowstone Committee. There's an application process there. Chair of that is Angie Grove and joins us here on Voices. Hey, Angie, again, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your interest in this and getting the ball moving forward. We haven't talked hunting yet, and that's a rather large recreational user group, too. A lot of opportunities in this area. How do we better promote that?
I think both hunting and fishing. The fisheries habitat is a very unique habitat for Montana and seeing increased use. That habitat for hunting is on the river corridor itself, is basically within wildlife management areas or, of course, if you have private land access. I think one of the things that the committee has to really look at is making sure that we honor that hunting and fishing tradition. They're a user group that I would really love to hear from. I have met with the Catfish Association and Walleye The Walleye Group has also indicated some interest, but I'd really like to hear from the hunting community as well, so that we can make sure that that voice is heard. I think their experience, as we were talking earlier about the visitor experience, their experience is very defined on solitude and open space. I speak from experience. So I think we really need to hear that voice when we have this planning committee. And I think that, again, gets back to the site classification that we need to look at. Because if something's classified as a hunting or fishing area, that's really going to dictate the use and how we want that to look out on the ground. So that's a group I'd love to hear from, and I think they're a vital part of the group that's protected this amazing resource out in eastern Montana.
What kind of public then comment will be accepted for? I suppose that there'll be projects out there that you will move forward with, and is there a public comment period for things like that?
As we move forward, our at this point, you know, where it's relatively early, and I don't want to speak for a committee that doesn't actually exist yet.
Good
but what I'm going to propose is that we would like to have some community meetings as we move forward with our recommendations and get feedback on that before we provide those recommendations to the department. The department will really be responsible for implementing and spending this money. They are the land managers. But what we're hoping is that we can use this process to formulate recommendations and then really get grassroots feedback on that before it goes to the department, so that the department knows what the expectation is out there. So we're hoping to have some public meeting, and any decisions the department makes has to go through a public comment period as well. So there should be multiple opportunities for people to engage in this process.
How long is the service for advisory committee members?
I'm hoping that we can address most of this within a 6 to 8 month window.
Okay.
Part of that is I would like to see investments made by the next season, if not before.
Yeah.
There's also, as I talked about earlier, grant application process for trails, for example, that start in February next year. So I'm hoping that we can move relatively quickly,
Angie,
and get
something
to the
I'll have to cut you off there. Thank you so much, and best of luck in your work.
Montana continues right after this.